We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
This morning I want to talk about something that took place on Monday night, March the 27th, 2 weeks ago tomorrow, on the cable news network, on CNN, on a program called The Nancy Grace Show. On that particular night, she was discussing the Winkler case and the Church of Christ. And she made some observations and some things were said there that I think deserve our attention. And so what I want to do is to read you these comments, and then we want to look at it and see what the Bible has to say about these. And if you're interested in having it, the entire transcript of this program is available on the CNN website, and I can give you the specific link if you would like to have that. Let me begin by reading you some of the transcript. Here is Nancy Grace. She is the host of this show. She says, "I want to go to Pastor Tom Rukala. He is joining us tonight as a special guest. He is a Baptist minister." She says, "I've been researching the Church of Christ. I don't know much about it. What can you tell me?" Pastor Tom Rukala says, "Well, the Church of Christ is a relatively new church. It was started about 150 years ago by Alexander Campbell. And it is, unfortunately, a very legalistic sect. They tend to use methods of intimidation and pressure tactics. They claim that they're the only ones going to go to heaven, and all other people are condemned to hell." Now, Nancy Grace says, "Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now, but I already knew that." And it says there was laughter. She says, "Wait a minute, what more can you tell me?" Rukala says, "Well, they claim that if you're not baptized by one of their ministers, that you are doomed to hell. Even if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, which of course breaks completely from the traditional Christian view that all those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, because we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ who died for our sins and rose again. For the Church of Christ, folks, that's not enough. You have to be a member of their narrow sect. It's a very exclusive group, and if you're not a member of their sect, you're condemned." Nancy Grace says, "You know, Pastor, you keep saying sect. Sect, you make it sound like a cult." He says, "It's kind of like a borderline cult, unfortunately. I don't want to make it out to be some kind of Hare Krishna group, but it has cult-like characteristics." She says, "In what sense?" Rukala responds, "Well, in the sense of its exclusivism. The attitude that they are the only ones who know the truth. The tactics that they use are sometimes not only unbiblical, but unethical. They are very ungracious, unfortunately." Now, as a member of the Lord's church, I was very upset to hear comments like this. And I have no doubt that you were too if you saw this on the internet or if you actually viewed this program on CNN. And I'm sure that the Lord was very angry to hear His body, to hear His church attacked in this way. And so I think several of these things need to be answered. And I want to do that this morning. The first thing I want to point out is that this Baptist minister says, they in the Church of Christ claim that if you're not baptized by one of their ministers, that you're doomed to hell. Now, that is a quote. Brethren, this is one of the strangest things I have ever heard in my life. I was baptized into Christ 22 years ago. I have attended two Christian colleges and a school of preaching. I have preached in numerous states around the United States and in several countries in the world. But I have never heard anyone anywhere teach that you have to be baptized by a Church of Christ preacher or you're going to go to hell. I've never even heard a false teacher teach that. And of course, the Bible certainly does not teach that. The Bible does not put emphasis on the one who is doing the baptizing, but upon the person who is being baptized. I mean, think about this. What if it turns out that the person who baptized me was a rank sinner and never really had obeyed the gospel himself? Does that affect my baptism? Does that in some way invalidate my baptism because I find out the person who baptized, not me specifically, Richard McWilliams baptized me, but if I found out that the person who baptized me was a rank sinner, does that mean that I'm not a Christian? No. You see, my baptism is not conditional upon the person who baptized me. And aren't you thankful for that? And so this person's statement that you've got to be baptized by a Church of Christ minister doesn't have any truth in it whatsoever. Now, secondly, he says they, the Church of Christ, they claim that they are the only ones going to heaven. Friends, I want to tell you this. Simply being a member of the Church of Christ does not necessarily mean that you're going to go to heaven. Because there are a lot of members of the Church of Christ who have ceased to be faithful and who are not going to go to heaven. In order to go to heaven, a person must obey the Lord. Only those people who obey the Lord are going to go to heaven. Now, part of that obedience does involve being a member of His church. And Acts 2:47 tells us that all of the saved are in His church. All of the saved were added to the church. In fact, when you talk about the church and you talk about the saved, they're the same group. All of the saved are in the church. So to suggest that you could be saved outside of the church is a contradiction of terms. Number three, he suggests that their thinking, the Church of Christ, their thinking, quote, breaks completely from the traditional Christian view. You see what he's trying to do here? He is trying to say they don't believe like everybody else does. He's trying to say they are a very exclusive group. And that sort of thing sways people because people don't like to think of themselves as being different. They think, oh, they think differently than everyone. Oh, that's a bad thing. Now, I want to tell you that argument might carry some weight in swaying people, but that's not a biblical argument. Exodus 23 and verse 2 says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Now, what's the point of that? The point is, it doesn't matter what most people believe. It doesn't matter what most people do. That's not a biblical argument. In fact, if I remember correctly, Matthew 7:13-14 tells us, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. The Bible says that there are few who are doing right. This is not a biblical argument at all. Number four, he repeatedly calls us a sect. And obviously, that's meant in a derogatory manner. A sect is a religious group that is usually regarded as extreme or heretical. But friends, I want to tell you something. If you hold to the Bible, even in the face of opposition, if you hold to the Bible even in the face of persecution, if you hold to what the Lord said even when everybody else is doing something different, the world is going to view you as extreme. And that's simply the way it is. But you know, this is not the first time that the Lord's church has been called a sect. In fact, the accusations that this Baptist minister made against the Lord's church today remind me very much of the accusations that were made against the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 24 and verse 5. Listen to this. In Acts 24 and verse 5, they said about Paul, they said, we have found this man to be a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among the Jews throughout the world, and the ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Now, what did they say about him? They said, well, you know, he's stirring up trouble, and he thinks something different from everybody else, and the things he's saying is stirring up problems in the religious world, and he's the leader of a sect. That's what they said about him. This Baptist minister said they practice intimidation practices. They condemn other religions. They are a sect. Doesn't that sound like the same thing they said about Paul? In Acts 28 and verse 22, the church was referred to by some there as the sect that is everywhere spoken against. And he talks about us having cult-like characteristics. Friends, cults demand conformity to a person. Cults tell you what to think and what to believe. In the Lord's church, we don't do that. In the Lord's church, what we encourage people to do is to think for yourself and to investigate the Bible for yourself. Like Acts 17:11, like the Bereans, they went to the Scriptures to search out whether these things were so. That's what we encourage people to do. Our plea in the churches of Christ is no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. We encourage you to go to the Bible and investigate it and look at the evidence and make a decision. That's not a cult-like characteristic, I'll tell you that. Number five, he talks about pressure tactics. He says the Church of Christ uses pressure tactics. I wish he had cited some of them, because I don't know what he's talking about here. When he talks about pressure tactics, does he mean Hebrews 10:24-25, where we are taught to assemble together to encourage love and good works? Is that the type of pressure tactics he's talking about? Is he talking about 2 Thessalonians 3:6, where the Bible says, withdraw yourselves from every brother who walks disorderly? Is that what he's talking about there? If that's what he's talking about, if he's got a problem with this particular passage, then he's got a problem with the Bible, not with the Church of Christ. And if it's not a passage in the Bible he's talking about, what's he talking about? I wish he had cited something here. He also said, they think that they're the only ones who know the truth. Well, you know, we just had a whole week-long meeting discussing the topic, can we know that we are right? And we concluded that, yes, an individual can know that he is right religiously. And not only can we know, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not only can we know we are right, we have to know we are right. If we're going to go to heaven, each individual has to go to the Bible. He has to search it out. He has to come to a knowledge of the truth. And it is only through that knowledge of the truth that he is going to be saved. Now, to say that I have come to a knowledge of the truth, that's not arrogant. It's simply keeping with what Jesus said we've got to do. And that is know the truth, because that's the only way that I'm going to be free. He also says this next statement, and this is where I want to spend most of our time today. He says the Church of Christ is a relatively new church. It was started about 150 years ago by Alexander Campbell. Now, that's a question I want to deal with for the next several minutes this morning. Did Alexander Campbell start the Church of Christ? And if someone came to you and made that accusation, what would you say? Would you know how to answer them? You know, sometimes people in denominations will call the Church of Christ people, they will call you Campbellites, because they'll say Alexander Campbell started that church. Do you know how to answer that? Do you know what to say about that? You will when this sermon's over. I want to give you 3 points today. First, who was Alexander Campbell? Number two, proofs that he did not start the Church of Christ. And number three, what did he do? Number one, who was Alexander Campbell? Bear with me for just a moment, because this is a little bit of historical information. It might be a little bit on the dry side, but you need to know this. Who is this man? If people are going to say he started the Church of Christ, you need to know something about him. I was a member of the Church of Christ for years before I had ever even heard of this guy, Alexander Campbell. Let me give you his background. Alexander Campbell was the son of Thomas Campbell, who was a Presbyterian preacher. Alexander Campbell was born in Northern Ireland in the year 1788, and he came to America in 1809. While Alexander Campbell was being trained at Glasgow University, he came under the influence of the Haldeen brothers. These were two individuals who were trying to restore New Testament Christianity in Britain. They were saying, we've got to go back to the Bible and just be the church of the Bible. Well, because of their influence and his study, Alexander Campbell soon left the Seceder Presbyterian Church. When he came to the United States, he was a little bit nervous about seeing his dad again, because he thought, you know, I've left the church. What's my dad going to think about this? When he got here, he found out his dad had been studying and had already done the same thing himself. Well, after studying the scriptures, Alexander Campbell realized he had never been baptized for the remission of sins. Not the way it was described in the Bible, not the way they did it in the New Testament. He had been sprinkled as a child, but that's not what they did in the Bible, and so he thought, that can't be right. I didn't do what they did in the Bible. And so on June 12, 1812, in accordance with the teachings of the New Testament, Alexander, his father, his mother, his sister, all confessed their faith in Christ and were baptized for the remission of sins. Alexander Campbell was a man who had an extraordinary intellect. And he used his abilities to work very diligently to get people to do the same thing he did. That is, give up being a part of a denomination and just embrace true New Testament Christianity. Now, some people say all he did was end up forming another denomination. Now, that brings us to point number two. I want to give you some reasons, some proofs that Alexander Campbell did not start the Church of Christ. Because if he did, if Alexander Campbell started the Church of Christ, we need to know it. And we need to honestly investigate this. Because if the Church of Christ is just a denomination built by a man, just like any other denomination, then we need to get out of it. Because the only way we're going to go to heaven is by being a part of the only true church of the New Testament. But the fact of the matter is, Alexander Campbell did not start the Church of Christ. And the Church of Christ is the church of the New Testament. Now, somebody says, well, that's easy to say. Alexander Campbell didn't start the Church of Christ, but can you prove it? Yes, I can, and I'm going to do it right now. I want to give you some proofs. Alexander Campbell did not start the Church of Christ. Proof number one, Alexander Campbell's work was that of restoration, not of founding. Alexander Campbell was a man who grew up in denominationalism, and his studies of religion told him that he was not a part of New Testament Christianity. You see, what he did was he went to his Bible and he read about Christians in the New Testament. And he read about how they worshipped in the New Testament and how they did in the days of the apostles. He read about the marks of the early church. And by process of comparison, he realized the church that he was a part of was not matching up to his Bible. He looked and said, this is how they worshipped in the Bible. That's not what we're doing. He looked, this is how people became Christians in the New Testament. He said, that's not what we're doing. He looked at the leadership in the Bible. He said, that's not the way we have it. And he said, something's not right. We've got to go back to the Bible. What Alexander Campbell concluded was that a new church or religion did not need to be formed, but rather the church of the New Testament needed to be restored. And the only way to do that was to go back to the Bible and to follow the pattern. In the book called The Ancient Order of Things, Alexander Campbell wrote this. He said, "It belongs to every congregation of individuals to discard from their faith and their practice everything that is not found in the New Testament of the Lord and Savior, and to believe and practice whatever is found there." What he was saying is, if it's not in the Bible and you're doing it, stop. If it is in the Bible and you're not doing it, then you've got to make a change. Alexander Campbell's goal was not to start a new religion. It was to go back to the one church of the New Testament. In that same book, he wrote, "To restore the ancient order of things, this must be recognized as the only constitution of the kingdom." Now, what's he mean? In other words, this must be recognized. He was saying, if we're going to go to heaven and we're going to be New Testament Christians, this is what we've got to use. We've got to stop all this nonsense we can't find in the Bible. So Alexander Campbell was trying to restore the church that already existed, not to start a new one. So point number one, Alexander Campbell was trying to restore, not to build. Point number two, second proof Alexander Campbell did not start the Church of Christ is that he specifically claimed, he specifically said, "I am not starting a new religion. I am simply trying to go back to the Bible." In 1826, Alexander Campbell wrote, "I have no idea of adding to the catalog of new sects," S-E-C-T-S. He said, "I have no intentions of doing that." He said, "That's a problem. It's not right." Campbell's goal was not to form a new denomination. It was to get people to go back to the Bible, to follow those commandments, to be Christians only. Let me read you another quote here. This is a little bit lengthy, but it makes the point very well. Alexander Campbell said, "One uninspired man's name weighs just as much as another when you put it in the scales of the sanctuary. And where good information and moral character exist, it's honorable, but no intelligent Christian could be pleased to be called a Paulite or a Cephite, though any of these names is 1,000 times, 10,000 times more honorable than Calvin or Luther. But neither Paul nor Peter would own that man as a consistent disciple of Christ who chooses to call himself by Paul's name or Apollos' name or Cephas' name. I have always disclaimed everything sectarian. And if people of the different sects want to slander me or any of those who prefer the Scriptures to any human creed and the kingdom of Jesus Christ to any sect, I say if they slander us with names and epithets which we disavow, they must answer to the one who judges righteously. But for ourselves, we protest the name and the precepts, the feelings of any sect or schism in Christendom." Now, what's he saying? He is saying, "I reject human names, I reject human creeds, I reject everything sectarian, I believe and follow only the Scriptures." Now, if people want to call me the founder of a denomination because of it, they're going to have to answer to God for that. Now, isn't that ironic? A man who made this statement, people say he's the founder of the Church of Christ. While he was living, at one point in his life, the local newspaper referred to him as the founder of a denomination. He wrote that newspaper and he said, "I have always repudiated human names for the people of the Lord, and I would feel grateful if you would correct this erroneous impression which your article may have made and thus representing me as the founder of a religious denomination." Now, what was he saying? He was saying, "I didn't start a denomination. I hate that sort of thing. That's not Bible. That's not what I stand for. It's not what I teach. And I don't want to be credited with that." Reason number one, Alexander Campbell didn't start the Church of Christ, because his work was that of restoration, not founding. Reason number two, Alexander Campbell specifically disavowed sectarianism. He opposed denominationalism. He refused to be credited with beginning one. Now, reason number three, and this one will really nail it to the wall. I want you to listen to this. Proof number three, Alexander Campbell did not start the Church of Christ, is that history indicates the Church of Christ already existed in the United States before the days of Alexander Campbell. There is a congregation in Salina, Tennessee. The Rock Springs Church was started in 1804 and, as far as I know, is still there today. That is 5 years before Alexander Campbell even came to the United States. The Gospel Advocate tells of a man identified as a Brother Lowry. He found a document near Salina, Tennessee that tells of the beginning of a congregation of the Church of Christ that was begun in 1733. That is 52 years before Alexander Campbell was even born. How could he have started the Church of Christ when it was already here 52 years before he was born? The 1950 Abilene Christian Lectures tell about churches of Christ founded upon New Testament lines as far back as 1669 in Great Britain. Now that's why the United States is still being colonized. And I want you to listen to this quote. This is from a lecture from Leonard Channing. He says, "It has been found that those churches called themselves churches of Christ. They practiced baptism by immersion. They celebrated the Lord's Supper on each Lord's Day. They had a clear view of congregational independency, appointing elders to each of those churches. And there were eight of them existing in the Ulverston district of Lancashire in northwest England. They appointed to each elders and deacons." And so Alexander Campbell could not have started the Church of Christ when we have clear historical documentation. It was already here when he got here. Reason number four, Alexander Campbell did not start the Church of Christ. And listen to this, because this is really the biblical answer. There is not one doctrine, there is not one precept, there is not one principle taught in the Church of Christ that originated with Alexander Campbell. And to anyone who would claim otherwise, we extend this challenge. Name just one step in the plan of salvation that originated with Alexander Campbell. Name anything that we teach that is necessary for a person to do in order to be saved that began with Alexander Campbell. In fact, name even one of our practices that originated with Alexander Campbell. The fact is, there are not any. All of the steps of the plan of salvation were already in the book hundreds of years before Alexander Campbell. All of the practices of the church were already in the book hundreds of years before Alexander Campbell. And friends, there had already lived and died thousands of members of the Church of Christ by the time that Alexander Campbell was born onto this planet. Now, here's the third point. If Alexander Campbell did not start the Church of Christ, what did he do? If he is not the originator of the church, then what was he? Here's the answer. He was a seed sower. He was a seed sower. Now, I want you to follow this illustration with me. If Farmer Smith went out to his land and he planted wheat seed, what would grow there? Would it be a Smith plant? No, it wouldn't be a Smith plant. If a crow picks up an acorn in his mouth and he flies over the land and the acorn falls out of his mouth and takes root in the ground, what is going to grow there? Is it going to be a crow? Of course not. Is it going to be some other type of bird? Of course it's not going to be. We understand if Farmer Smith planted a wheat seed, he would grow wheat. We understand that if a crow dropped an acorn, it's going to grow a tree. Now you see, the point that I'm making is this. What was it that determined what type of plant would grow? Was it who did the sowing? No. Was it where he sowed it? No. What was it? It was the type of seed that he sowed. Now the point that I'm trying to make is this. The type of seed that is planted is what determines what will grow, not who plants the seed. That's a law of God. We understand that from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Every seed brings forth after its own kind. That's true in the physical realm, but it's also true in the spiritual realm. Every seed produces after its own kind. If you take a person back to the Bible and you teach them the Bible only, it will make Christians only. If you teach them something else, it will make something else. Now, let's go back to our original subject. What does all this have to do with Alexander Campbell? It has to do with Alexander Campbell because he was a seed sower. When he preached, he sowed the message in the hearts of men. But what was the seed that he sowed? Campbell's belief was to preach the Bible only, the Word of God. Luke 8:11, from the scripture reading we had this morning, Luke 8:11 says, "The seed is the Word of God." If you plant that seed in men's hearts, what will it grow? Luke 1:23 teaches us that true New Testament Christians are those who have been born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. Now, let's draw the conclusion. If every seed produces after its own kind, and a man plants the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, and that seed grew New Testament Christians in the first century, what will it produce if we plant it today? The answer is the same thing it produced when you planted it then, and that is a New Testament Christian. Alexander Campbell did not start a new religion. He planted the seed of the Word of God. It produced Christians in the first century, and it will produce Christians now. Friends, the plea of Alexander Campbell to the religious world was, let's put away the doctrines of men and just go back to the Bible. Let's restore New Testament Christianity. What was the work of Alexander Campbell? He was a restorer. He was a seed sower. Now, let me ask you this. What if 200 years from now, every faithful member of the Lord's church died? What if this change movement that's taking place was successful and it led away everybody? 200 years from now, could somebody come along and pick up a New Testament and preach the truth about the kingdom and about the plan of salvation and about the worship of the church and about the organization of the church and reproduce the church in their area? Sure they could. If they did that, would they be forming a new denomination? They would not. They would simply be restoring the church of the New Testament. As long as we have the seed, we have the church. As long as we have the Word of God, we have the seed and we have all that it takes to restore true New Testament Christianity, which is the Church of Christ. Alexander Campbell was a good man. He was one who saw a serious situation, and he realized the churches of his day were not the same as the church he read about in the New Testament. And he pled with men to return to the pattern, to be Christians only. Did he start the Church of Christ? Absolutely not. It existed hundreds of years prior to his birth. And friends, today, if you're not a member of the Church of the New Testament, you can become one today the same way that they did 2,000 years ago. Because the seed is the same. The message is the same. And the church is the same for which Jesus shed His blood. Do you want to do that today? Do you want to be a part of the church for which Jesus died? Friends, it was said in the first century, the church was called a sect that is everywhere spoken against. And I guess until the Lord returns, people will make false accusations against the church of our Lord. They did it to Paul, they did it to the apostles, they did it to the early Christians. In fact, many Christians were put to death in the first century because they stood for the truth. Today, do you want to do that? Do you want to stand for the truth? Do you want to hold to the New Testament and the New Testament only and to be a part of the church that you read about in the Bible? You can do that today by obeying the gospel plan of salvation, the same plan they obeyed, and simply look what they did to become Christians in the New Testament and do the same thing right now. When they heard the gospel, they believed it, they repented of their sins, they confessed their faith in Christ, and they were baptized in water for the remission of their sins. And the Bible says the Lord added them to His church. The same thing will happen today because it's the same seed and it's the same church.